Ciao ragazzi, my name is Anthony. Welcome back to Inter Worldwide. It's an absolute pleasure to be here for a new episode or a new feature for, not a new feature, just a new piece of content as we lead up to our biggest away trip of the season. And I have a very special guest that I would like to bring into the channel today. Once again, welcome back to Inter Worldwide. He's the head honcho of the amazing Bianconeri Zone. So make sure that you're going over and subscribing and checking them out. Welcome back, Ali. It's good to see you, my friend.
Yeah, good to see you. It's been a while. Couldn't pick a better moment to another live show, I think.
Brother, you're smiling a lot more than the last time we spoke. What's going on, man? One too many 1-0 wins. He's coerced you over, hasn't he?
No. I think I'm smiling because we had a 2-week break of the football. I think that's why I'm smiling. Stress will kick in come Sunday again, I think.
Oh, man, the stress will definitely be there. Thank you to the 11 people that are joining us right now. Let's see if we can get those numbers up to 30, 40 here today. That would be really, really nice. And thank you very much to our resident Batman for your donation. We really appreciate it. Well, it's 1-2. It's first and second. It's got the makings of an old school slugfest from now until the end of the season. And that's pretty much what we're going to dissect today. Thank you to some channel members coming into the house, such as Marvel Lawson and the Kerr Mafia. It's good to see you guys once again coming back in. Finally, Serie A is back and we are back on this channel as well. So as I said, please make sure you're following Ale and his fantastic work at the Bianconeri Zone. That's a cool trim on your channel, man. I might need to clean up my banner a little bit more because that looks really, really dope. So great content, daily content and everything that you need to know about those rivals up in Turin. If you're going to get the news from anybody, like I say, you don't need to go to the mainstream media. You don't need to go to the mainstream outlets. Go to your content creators and your fan channels. They are the best ones to go to all the time. Without further ado, this is what I was talking about. Ale, the last time we spoke, you were adamant that, you know, you wouldn't have a horrible season by any stretch of the imagination. I remember speaking with you and saying you fully expect this side to finish second-ish, but to not look pretty as well. Well, yep. you're bang on point at the moment. You're absolutely bang on point. But I guess the mic's over to you. How has the season gone for you, especially maybe in the last maybe 7 or 8 fixtures? You're coming off 5 wins off the bounce. So are we. We've both got the form. But over to you to talk about Juve in the last couple of months.
It's going as I expected. Maybe not really. It wasn't a given, but this was my expectation. You know, I predicted we would finish second. But I also said we need to be in a race, in a respectable race, you know, not finish second and like last season or whatever, like finish 18 points off top. Like that's too much. It needs to be a proper race, like a respectable race until very deep into the season, you know, because I know we don't have the best squad. I think you guys have the best squad in the league. So I get the quality isn't there unless what we discussed, you know, and you guys will kind of, or Inzaghi will somehow turn into Inzaghi and will go on a streak during a month, you know, a month in a season where it kind of throws it away. Other than that, expectation is this, you know, be close. I knew it wasn't going to be pretty. It's not pretty. And that's the frustrating part because although it's not the best squads we have had in the last, I don't know, 12, 13 years, it's better than what we are putting out there on the pitch. And we're putting out there wins, performances, that I get that. I accept, I'll take any win. However, like individual performances, individual growth from these players is not there. And in certain areas and for certain players, it's becoming very scary, in my opinion. You know, it's for some, you know, when I look at other players like Chiesa, I think it's becoming frustrated at this moment in time. And that's my fear, you know, that it will come to a stop and that we don't have another way around because we started off the season playing pretty well. Mm-hmm. And then Sassuolo happened and he decided we're not going to do this anymore. And we're going to close up shop basically. And we are going to go back to old habits, I'm going to say. And the weird thing is the Sassuolo game, we didn't lose that game because we were playing, you know, ultra offensive style of football. We lost that game because on the day, I think you saw the Chesney one, the Gatti one, like it was that kind of day. You know, it wasn't because we were playing an expensive brand of football and Sassuolo were cutting us every single moment on the break. It wasn't that. So that's it, basically. I'll take any win. However, it's not it's not convincing. We're beating teams we should be beating, but we're not doing that in a very convincing fashion. And that's very frustrating still, despite the win.
Yeah, just going back on a couple of players that you said have been frustrating you. I'm guessing two of them are on the screen right now. Federico Chiesa and Dusan Vlahovic, mostly the latter rather than the former. Interesting you say Chiesa, though, because I watched the Italy games with full attention the other day, and I copped a lot of stick for writing around about the 77th minute that Chiesa needs to come out because he was suffering on the left. Bro, he was suffering on that left-hand side. He was one bad tackle away from missing a couple of months. There was one point in like the 77th minute where he actually hobbles over to be the second defender. I think it was to help out. I forget who was trying to help out. DiMarco, yeah. And he's literally like hobbling to one side to be the second man. He gets the ball and goes down the line and gets hacked. And he's actually pointing at his leg and looks at the bench. And I'm starting to think, you know, even as an Inter fan, I'm starting to think, bro, you need to pull this guy out for multiple reasons. One, that left-hand side is getting absolutely annihilated. And as soon as he came out, the whole trajectory of the Ukraine shifted to the other side of the pitch. But more importantly, he just looked gassed and like he was just putting in more than he needed to at that point in time, which I love about him for the Azzurri. How do you think he's going to play on the weekend and dissect and digress into Dusan Vlahovic as well? Because the rumors and the headlines are starting to come out again that Juve are starting to accept the fact that if he's got a price tag on him still, it might be easier to just cut your losses slightly and move him on.
Yeah, one of the two is going to leave in the summer, and it's purely based on financial reasons. Like it says, like it's as simple as that. We tried it in the summer, we'll do it again. You know, they're trying to extend this contract to spread out the wage. It's not about we do not want to lose him or we want to keep him whatsoever. It's purely based on wages. Chiesa's not a striker. Like it's just, like I cannot put it in a more simpler way. It's as easy as it gets. You know, we can come out and say he's learning. He's not a striker. He doesn't need to learn to be a striker. However, I've said it so many times, we set up to help out the weaker players in the squad rather than build the team around the most talented players. And the most talented players are struggling. You know, we play 3-5-2. You cannot play him as a wingback. And as a forward, he's not as effective. And people might say, oh, but he's on the wing a lot. That's not going to help because your takeaway, like it's going to be overload on one wing and the link-up play is just going to disappear. On top of that, he's playing with Kostic and Rabiot on his side. It's just not really going his way. The moment you have Cambiasso coming in and even Miretti dropping in a little bit in those positions, it looks different because you have actual footballers in that team. And with footballers, I mean players who are not one-dimensional. Kostic, you know, it's sideline to sideline. You know, for you know, goal to goal, it's nothing special. And Rabiot is having stinker of a season. You know, he slows down play. It's very tough for Chiesa at this moment in time. He's just a winger. You know, I don't agree that he was shit against Ukraine. I don't agree with that.
Me either. I thought he was great. The same way Culture was Reno Zed saying. Yeah,
he was very lively. And if you read the stats out from that game, you know, take-ons completed, and you compare it to Juve, you couldn't believe what you just saw. And what you read at that moment in time, you know, and the last couple of games, he looks frustrated. You know, Atalanta, the first touch in the opposition half in the second half came in the 75th minute, and he got absolutely smoked because he was on his own there. And against Fiorentina, I felt bad for him. I really do. And I really did. And it's not different against other teams. You know, we have a style of play, which is kind of working, but that's by choice and by design, not because we don't have the players who play a different type of football. And it's just not coming off for him. You know, he's not involved into the games. And people will bring up, oh, he missed the most big chances in the league. And I'm like, so did Thuram for Inter. You know, he missed five. Chiesa missed five. However, Inter create double the amount of chances we do. Double. So the stats look different. They have more to miss. We don't. You know, they're missing at a normal rate. The difference is we're not creating at the rate we should be creating, in my opinion. And that's why it looks very poor. You know, we don't create one-on-ones. Like, you saw the goals we scored, set pieces and all those things, crosses. And people, the moment you say that, oh, you don't count those goals? I'm like, I do count them. I never question that. However, that's not sustainable unless you're Burnley playing for survival in the Premier League. Then, okay, fine, I'll accept it. We're not that team, you know, and with the players we have, we should be doing better. Like Chiesa gets double teamed a lot of the games, which I understand. However, that's also quite easily resolved. You can resolve that quite easily to not play Kostic. It's very easy. Like, they just let Kostic go at this moment in time, you know, because he will put in a cross, and yes, at times it will, you'll pull it off. But it's easy to Mark Kostic. When Cambiasso comes in, it's different because he's a player who cuts inside, tries to link up, you know, and Chiesa gets loose a little bit. And as of now, it's looking bad. You know, I know a lot of people do like Chiesa. I like Chiesa, but it seems like he's playing with Elishan. It feels like he's very restricted, and he's not a forward. Like, I'll keep saying it. He's not a forward. Just let him play. But that means he's gonna need to reshape everything. You know, like, you cannot play a 3-5-2. You cannot play a 3-5-2. And that's the big issue, because you're winning games now. He's not going to change it mid-season. You know, he's not going to change it. And now it's basically easy to say, you know, Chiesa, figure it out. You know, you just need to figure it out now. But I don't think he's going to figure it out, if I'm being completely honest. I just don't see it. Same for Vlahovic. They haven't scored since September 16th and the 23rd of September. Those were their last goals. It's December in a couple of days. You know, it's unbelievable. Like, and the worry part is they're still the top scorers of the team. So it's not a good situation, you know. And my expectations for Sunday is not any different, you know. I think they put in a good performance, but being dangerous, being in Inter's face, I don't think that's going to happen at all. I just don't see it happening out of the blue at this moment in time. Because it would be out of nowhere if they actually show up big time. And it's not all on them. Like, they do mess up certain things. But I think that comes with building in frustration, you know, not scoring goals, you know, not getting the opportunities. And then you start doing things just to force things at this moment in time. And let's see. But I'm becoming frustrated with it. So I would only imagine Kies and Vlahovic are as well at this moment in time.
Yeah, fair call. Thank you very much, Hasta. Appreciate it, and appreciate anybody that's come in today from Ali's Bianconeri Zone to tune in. Pardon me, we've got 23 people with us right now, so make sure you like the video if you are enjoying it. That's his opinion. Is Tony Topalovic the right man to replace Oliver Kahn at Bayern Munich? Bro, that's the first time I've ever been asked a Bayern Munich question on this channel, so that's fantastic. There's a really good channel called The Bayern View who does English-speaking Bayern Munich content. I strongly suggest you go over there and subscribe and check out his stuff, because that's a great question for him. Sorry, man, I had no idea Oliver Kahn had even stepped down as president. So that's how much I know about Bayern Munich at the moment. Rather than I sit here and flap my gums at Inter, I'm going to just throw it over to my guest again to see if he's got any questions or anything specific for us. Otherwise, I'll just ramble on the same crap that I do when I put the camera in front of my face every day. So, Ale, you're really doing me a solid today, hogging the microphone at 7:30 in the morning here in Sydney. It's nice. So whatever you want to ask me, go for it, bro.
What I do want to ask, because you're top of the league, obviously. However, I don't feel you're playing your best football. So I'm not sure if that's scary for us, for me, because you're still up there and I think you still have some gears to go on to. Because from what I've seen, it's not as convincing as I thought it would be, if that makes sense. You know, even in results, you win kind of big. Mm-hmm. It still took more than I thought it would take, you know. So do you think it's still not up to the max and you have some gears to go on? Because if that's the case, I don't think there's much of a title race, because I don't think we have any gears to go up ourselves.
I said this a couple times throughout the season. When Inter look comfortable, they get careless. And that's the issue that I have at the moment, is that this team is sort of still coasting on a slight aura of arrogance that they achieved at a very, very delicate point in their career under Antonio Conte. And a lot of the big personalities in this team still are adjusting to the adaptation of going from really, really big players in a team to leading the squad. I'm talking about Toro. I'm talking about Barella. I'm talking about Bastoni. I'm talking about these players that, when they won the Scudetto a few seasons ago, were the younger players hitting their peak that just needed to turn out the results on the pitch. Well, now they're the leaders in the locker room. Now they're the personalities that face the media. Now they are the guys. So I feel like if there is a gear to go up again this year, it's going to come down to locker room leadership. It's going to come down to big personalities like the ones I mentioned and the other ones that are in the squad at the moment. Like, I think it's very, very important to acknowledge players like Hakan Çalhanoğlu, like Denzel Dumfries, these players that sort of bring that stone cold mentality to a team and say, well, if we're not doing well, I'm not happy. If we're not winning, I'm not happy. And you can see it all over their faces. And this is what you want from a team that's going for top honors, to know that you can't be satisfied unless you get the result. So I guess in saying that, results have been good because we're first in the league. We've dropped two games, ironically enough. Sassuolo dented our form the same way they did with you. And I think that we do have better football to play. However, with a fixture congestion and a very, very busy 2024, it's still up to this team and still up to these players to get themselves into that form. It's not just going to come because we've got the talent and we've got the fixtures to do it. It's going to require a very, very strong headspace, because I know it's a double-edged sword, but Max Allegri can gear your boys up for one game a week. He can gear you up for bloody Udinese. He can gear you up for Torino, for Genoa. You know, he's done that before. Inzaghi's doing a great job at balancing everything. We just finished match day 4 and we are through to the knockout stages of the Champions League. That achievement on its own also qualified us for the 2025 World Cup. So things behind the scenes are starting to look a lot better financially. I mean, we've been in the pits for a long time now, but yeah, we've cut our losses from 240 million two and a half seasons ago to 82 million last season. And that's not factoring in the sales of Brozovic and Onana, which come on the books next season. So unless Inter were to bow out in the round of 16 and finish fourth, Inter's probably going to make a gain at the end of the season for the first time in a long time, or maybe a loss of like small digits. So that combined with what the future sort of holds for us, I think that the worst part of our finances are over, contrary to what the media might say, because obviously we've still got debts and loans with Oaktree and whatnot. But I do feel as though we've turned a corner in that aspect. We have a sustainable model in which the directors behind the scenes are just basically adapting the entire Serie A model. You buy players. If their value goes up, you sell them and you pocket the profit, or you spend a little bit of it on other players refurbishing your team. This is an issue that Inter had for the last 2-3 years, where some of the other clubs may not have had it, but it's caught up in the last couple of seasons as well. This is no longer an Inter isolated issue. I'm very happy with the way the team is performing at the moment, because it seems to be more than enough to get results. But at the same time, you're only a couple of bad games away from falling into a mental slump, Ali. And the turn of the new year is going to be everything, because you can either continue this good form in Serie A and get a favorable draw in the Champions League, or you can draw Manchester City or Real Madrid and drop a couple of games in February, and then all of a sudden everybody calls out crisis. So I think the leaders on this side, like mentioned up on the screen, are doing a good job at carrying these gears. But like you said, they need to also know that there's another gear to go up.
I do have that feeling, because like a player like Barella, I don't think he's playing particularly well this season. Or I think he's a player who can offer still much more. That's one of those players. I think Lautaro's having a good season, obviously. But overall, when I watch you guys, I was not like disappointed, but I think like you have more in that team to offer. And that's maybe the scary part, you know. For us, the scary part is I don't think we have any gears to go up to, in terms of if we play with this setup and this mindset, this is the gear. Like this is what it's going to be. And for us, this month, this week, and December is, well, it's massive. You know, if anyone really believes in a title push, it's going to be based on this month, because we play you guys, and we have Monza, Frosinone away from home, and we have Lazio. No, we have Roma and Napoli at home. So until Christmas, it's big time. It's not Cagliari. It's not name it. It's not those teams. No, it's real games. Not Verona. It's tough, tough games. You know, even Monza, we lost there. Frosinone,
like they're
playing well. You know, it's a big, big test. And on top of that, we have many squad issues. Like playing once a week, like what's happening to the squad this year is just ridiculous at this point. You know, it's like self-inflicted, or players self-inflicting it, or just injuries. It's worrying, even with the one game a week. You know, because I saw Marotta pushing it to be an advantage. It is an advantage. However, like we're missing so many players, and it's I don't think it's really an advantage, especially if we are not seeing it on the pitch. You know, I don't see what we do in training. You know, the only advantage is it's rest. Like, that's the advantage. You know, I don't think we're working on it, on anything besides being extremely disciplined. And I always knew we could do that. You know, we sit back so deep, and yeah, if the players believe in it, it's you can pull it off. However, like, this month is big. Yeah, you guys can be out of sight after this month. I don't know who you play in December, but I know our schedule, and it's not an easy schedule. So I think this game on Sunday, it's not win or, like, if we win it, we're not the favorites. Like, we're not the favorites. So I don't think if we win it, everybody will be like, oh, now it's Juve's one to lose. However, if we lose it, I think the people who are already saying, okay, it's Inter, are going to be like, okay, now it's going to be Inter. Like, on the long, you know, throughout 38 games, or how many games, 50, 25 games after this one, I think.
After this one, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be Inter. Like, they're not, maybe not run away with it, but, like, they're going to get it over the line. If you look at Milan, they're struggling. If you look at Napoli, it's still, like, I don't know what Napoli are doing at this point. You know, I have no idea what that was all about.
By the time they get their shit together as well, the Napoli and the Milans, I just think it's going to take too long for them to get it back together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
By then, they'll just be too far away.
I agree with that. You know, it's a big game for us. And so I said it's our biggest game, obviously, of the season, but it's our biggest game of the last three seasons.
Okay.
Because we've never been in this position it's early, it's November or December almost, I get it, but still, it's Juve Inter, but for this one time in the league in the last 3 years, it has a big, you know, meaning. You know, it's meaningful. It's really, really meaningful. It's not just Juve Inter, it's Juve Inter, but it's top of the league, you know. Everybody's gonna watch, you know, not maybe the last couple of season, you know, non Serie A fans are not really gonna tune in, you know, you were second, we were fourth, or like whatever. It's what it wasn't really. Now it's big, you know, it's massive, and I'm excited for it, but also a bit worried in the same time. Confident always, you know, but it means big time. Even I don't think we're gonna win it. However, if we win on Sunday, in a manner where I'm like, okay, they can actually do it, then maybe I'm like, okay, let's see how we go by in December. Let's see what happens in January, because we're going to sign players, because we have absolutely no choice at this moment in time. Then maybe, who knows, you know, maybe Inter get a favorable draw in the Champions League. I don't know who's in it. You know, maybe they get, I'm going to make it up, Dynamo Kiev. They're probably not in it. They're probably not in it. And they go around further. I'm like, maybe, who knows, you know, maybe we can sustain this until the late end. But Sunday is going to tell me personally a lot, you know. Maybe fans who are going overboard now, Juve fans, maybe they will get, you know, a reality check on Sunday, because it's good to scrape wins against Cagliari and Verona, like, name it. It's different playing the best team in the league at this moment in time. So a lot of things are on the line on Sunday. I don't think our title hopes are on the line or yours for that extent.
Yeah.
I think we will learn from both squads. You know, if you lose, I think you will be like, okay, man, come on. Year three of Inzaghi. I think it's year three of Inzaghi.
Yeah.
I think you are expecting to win. You know, you need to win this game, you know, and put in a statement. Basically, you know, good, you're having fun towards us, you know, 1 point off, but you know what? It's not going to happen this season. I think that's the mindset going into the game for you. I think the pressure is more on Inter. I don't want to be an Allegri.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I think I don't want to say the pressure is on Inter. I think the pressure is more on Inter because it's year three, and Inzaghi had those, you know, errors throughout the season where he kind of threw it away. I think the pressure and the spotlight is big time on Inter because they're the favorites to win it. Their favorites in the game, you know, not by a mile, but like they will be the favorites, and the pressure will be on Inzaghi to pull out this game. And I think Allegri will play that card tomorrow, Saturday in the presser as well. He will play it big time. And I agree that you're a guy's a favorite, but it's Juve Inter. Like I've seen Juve Inter's from know, we were just back from Serie B and we played a very good game. When you look at our team, you're like, huh, that's just not going to happen, right? But we put in a performance because of that's the game. That's what I'm expecting.
The game,
yeah. Like I'm expecting from everybody just 100% effort. And then let's see how it will go. But as of now, good. But this time it's real. Now it's real on Sunday.
Yeah, of course. We do have a tough week coming up. Obviously, we've got three away trips, one to Turin, one to Portugal, and one to Naples, which is why that qualification on match day four,
I can't
stress it enough. In the match day preview, when Benfica slipped on match day three and I realized that we were only, I think, a plus two or a plus three away from qualification, I said that this game is now contextual to the entire season. This is not a Champions League game. This is a season 23-24 game now, because you qualify on match day four, you're allowed to reset your structure for the domestic league. So it was very important to get that. Thank you to the 32 people that are with us right now. We got 30 today, which was very, very nice. I would definitely agree with what you said, because I remember going live with Alberto last season, and we both agreed that there was very minimal feel to the fixture for a few reasons. One, Napoli had already run away with it by the second game that we played each other, and that was when Alberto and I teed up. Secondly, you guys were being dragged through court once again. And third, we were going through a season dip where there was definitely talk of Inzaghi being moved on, and then the resurgence in the Champions League happened out of absolutely nowhere. So the whole Inter-Juve thing had to take the back seat last season, and that's why it was just us versus you last season. But now everything is back in context. It's first versus second. It's like you said, if either team loses the game, the title race is not over. I'm going to say especially for us, like you can't just, even if you go to Turin and come away with nothing as Inter, you can't go away only minus one thinking that the season is now dented, because minus one is nothing. But at the end of the day, the mental capacity of not winning that game, or sorry, the mental capacity of losing that game would be horrible, because you, at the very least, you need to come away with a share of the spoils just to keep the mood up. Going back to another couple of comments, because we did have a nice little chat. Thank you, Ale. A couple of Barca, there's a Barca fan in here, which is very, very nice. Thank you so much. Dude, with Barcelona, mate, I gotta say, you gotta go check out your own finances as well, bud, because it's looking absolutely bleak for you guys.
They're selling their own grass, so I think
you're selling your own grass. We haven't got to that point. I'm sure Suning and Steven Zhang are capable of some creative things, but yeah, but at the end of the day, you're having a very, very similar situation to us, Barca, in a sense that you're trying to mitigate a whole lot of debt. I think that you guys have done it a little bit shiftier than we have, but you've still got the talent and you've still got the team and you've still got the heart to perform well on the pitch. Hasta says, I think if we win versus Inter, we are the favorites based on the Serie A season. Juve and Inter would have nearly identical results. I think if you guys win, then, you know, the whole tunnel vision of only playing one game a week is really going to work in your advantage as the season progresses. But, you know, Serie A is a funny league. You can beat the best team one week and you can lose 1-0, or you can lose to Sassuolo the next. Can't you, Ale?
Yeah.
It happens. Ian Kerr, can you gift me a membership? I have no idea what that is, gifting a membership. Ian Kerr is one of my biggest supporters, so I don't want Ian Kerr gifting anything to anyone. But if you can tell me what gifting a membership is in the comments, I'll definitely gift you one, bro. That's not a problem for me. I don't think we're going to win, but if we do, I get drunk. Shout out, Rino. I don't think I'll be able to have a drink after the game. It finishes at 8:45 on a Monday morning, and I have a complex case meeting for a student at 9 a.m. So it's always good. It's always good to have those distractions sometimes, Ale. I've had multiple times where I've just been too busy at work on a Monday to be able to follow a game in Sydney, and sometimes it's a lot better, bro, than that tuning in and going through every millisecond and every bit of emotion. All right, that's pretty much it for the background stuff. Let's talk a little bit more specifically about this fixture. Nice to see you as well, Amy. 10 wins to 9, 54% possession to 49. A few more shots for us. Shocked. A few more goals for us. We've got an expected goals of about five more than you. You guys have won more duels on the pitch tackles-wise as well. So your style of play versus our style of play is going to be very interesting to see how the managers set this up. And I think it's really going to come down to small glitches in the game and who's really focusing and paying attention, maybe in the midfield as well. How do you expect this game going from a tactical point of view from Allegri and then a little bit on Inzaghi, and then I'll flip the lid?
I think we're going to go for it the first 50 minutes with the crowd. Yeah. I think we're just going to push because if we get that early goal, this team is very capable just to see it out at this moment in time. They're very capable to see it out. Even better at away from home, in my opinion. But in general, I think they're very capable of seeing it. I think they will go for it. The first 50 minutes, I think, will be very intense. Overall, we need to make it a very physical game. I think that's that needs to be our thing. You know, we need to make it a very physical game because quality-wise, like playing, I think you guys are superior because you have a clear identity. Yeah, we have a clear identity, but it's very... It's not based on the same pillars as you guys, you know. So I think we're going to go for it the first 15 minutes, goal or no goal, and then we will step back no matter what happens. If we get that goal, we don't get the goal, we will step back either way. You know, we will defend that lead or we will sit back and wait on that one chance, even if it comes in minute 80, and they will probably put it away because that's what's happening in the last couple of weeks. In general, I think we're going to go for it. Result, like, lineup-wise, I have no idea at this moment in time. You know, it's especially that midfield, it's a puzzle at this moment. Like, I couldn't say he was going to play. I know they're still holding on for Locatelli to play. He's not going to play. There's absolutely no chance you can put him out there, because I'd rather miss him for one game than three, four games. Like, there's no... Yes, we need Locatelli, but, like, there's no need to risk him at this moment in time. And that's where the issues kind of start, because Miretti's not fit 100%. McKennie's not 100% ready. However, they're going to need to play. There's no choice. And that's my fear a little bit, that midfield. If we lose that midfield battle, it could be a very long night, you know, because Rabiot, McKennie, Miretti, like, they're not physical players. They're not those type of players, especially not Miretti, you know. And even Rabiot this season, I think he's very soft. He's very anonymous. He's very indecisive in possession. That's my biggest thing, you know. That's why I think they're going to come out and try to, you know, use the crowd, go for it, and try to get that early goal. Even up top, so many questions, you know. Is it going to be Keane and Chiesa? Most likely, I think, yes, it's going to be those two. Keane, who I think is our best forward, performing forward at this moment in time, which is...
It's slightly embarrassing for Dushan to see his name on that bench.
He's even
boastful for him.
But Keane is, like, outperforming Chiesa, like, on the pitch, like, just impact on the pitch. Now, in general, that's not a good situation. That's not taking, like, that's not knocking down Keane, but it shouldn't be that way. You know, it really shouldn't, but it is. And I gave Keane credit because he is playing, not the last game, but the last game, I think everybody was kind of poorish. But in general, he's playing well, Keane. You know, he's playing well. And I think he, like, I like Vlahović, but I think he deserves to start. You know, I think he deserved that. That backline is what it is now, because we don't have anyone else. it's those three, you know, and they're playing well. Even Rogani was playing out of his skin at this moment in time. Like, he's unbelievable. Bremer is having an incredible season, you know, a very good season. And Gatti is just in between it, you know. So we know how that's going to pan out. It's just that midfield. I'm looking to the right-hand side and I'm like, that's not very good at this moment in time. If you look at it, you know, that's my issue. Like, even on the wingbacks, you know, Dumfries, I think he's a player I always think you can get at, you know, when he's out of possession. When he's up on the field, I don't think he's... You know what I think about Dumfries. However, you know, when Kostic and Cambiasso, it's not that it's... How do you want to say that? It's not that we have a type of player out there that's going to take full advantage of it, you know? My biggest fear for you guys is the form Lautaro is on, and even Thuram to that extent. You know, that's my biggest fear. You can flip it and you can say, you know what, you're very solid at the back, which I do agree. But in general, that midfield is the big concern, you know, with Locatelli, Miretti, and McKennie not being 100%. It's a big ask, even to go full 90 minutes, you know, because if you look at our bench, he's going to make very weird decision. He's going to play Nicolussi out of nowhere, or he's going to shoehorn Junior into a mezzala role, or maybe drop Yildiz in. And that's not ideal, because, you know, Junior and Yildiz shouldn't be playing in those positions. And that's where I'm very scared, you know. And that's why I think he's going to go out there for in the first 15 minutes to get that goal, and try to see it out. I really think that's the game plan on Sunday. I'm not sure. I'm expecting Inter to also go for it. I don't think.
Oh, yeah.
If they watch us play, I don't think they have any reason to sit back. Because there's no need to sit back against us. Like, Cagliari had a goal in the first half, you know. Verona tried to have a goal that kind of didn't really end well, because they are very extremely poor quality in that team, in my opinion. But I think Inter is going to go for it as well. Like, it could be a very open game if it goes the way I think in the first opening minutes. And after that, it will just give the ball to Inter and we will figure it out down the line. But if you look at those lineups, I think you can see where the issue is for us at this moment in time.
Yeah, we've got our formations up on the screen. They're at least the predicted ones. They're always subject to change. We don't have too many players unavailable. I've heard that Arnautović and Cuadrado should be good enough to make the bench. I wouldn't let Cuadrado anywhere near this pitch for $1 million.
He didn't play really much this season, right?
I think he's come on twice or three times as a substitute now before doing his injury. And yeah, he's only going to have to come on when we need him, but definitely not for this game. I wouldn't trust him at all, to be honest, anywhere near that pitch. The only really noticeable one missing for us at the moment is Bastoni, who went home from international duty early. But at the moment, if I'm allowed to say it, he's had more average games than great games this season. And it's concerning that a player like Francesco Acerbi can do a borderline better job than him at the moment. Obviously, in an ideal scenario, we'd have Acerbi in the middle with Bastoni and Benji Pavard on there as well. But no one's really complaining about Matteo Darmian being on the pitch anywhere at the moment. I mean, he's just going to do a job for you no matter what. So playing him there at the right centre-back position, being able to unleash Denzel Dumfries a little bit better. It's why you've seen Dumfries get so high up the pitch multiple times this season. And he's really almost playing as a right-wing forward a lot of the time as well. And his ability to link up with the middle of the box and play those, you know, watch out for his low crosses, man. He's starting to get a lot. He's starting to become a lot more accurate with his crosses, which is something that was really void of his of his arsenal and his repertoire when he first came into the club. Overall, when I look at it man for man, Ale, I think that we should have enough to go for it for the whole game, but that's not how 90 plus minutes in football works. I would really like to see some rotation around the hour mark. I think Fratesi needs more minutes than he's been getting, but I'm one of the Inter fans that still advocates for Henrik Mkhitaryan, because I look at it purely from a tactical point of view, and I think that he's just the way Mkhitaryan plays, progressing that ball forward, being able to connect midfield to attack. It's just always been something he's done, whether it's Dortmund, Arsenal, or Manchester United. I say he's one of those players that doesn't actually have a position on the pitch. If he can be opportunistic anywhere, floating from coast to coast and in the central attacking midfielder role, that's exactly what he'll do. He's very dangerous. He's very underrated. And I think defenders lack the perception to pick him up and underestimate him a little bit as well. And more often than not, if you give him a sniff, he's going to take it, because he can score goals and he can provide assists. I sung some praises for Hakan as well earlier in the show, and I think that he will have another good game again, because he's sort of hell-bent on succeeding here, just to shove it in his Milanisti rivals' faces as well. But we'll see how he goes in this game. And yes, we've got the English translation on the screen. That's why Nicolò Stretcher is starting. If Bastoni was on the screen, you'd see him labeled as Sticks as well. Ladder speaks for itself. We had a draw. Sorry, I thought we were coming off the back of five wins. Maybe the last website I saw factored in the Champions League as well. But it's hard to look at both of our teams' starts to the season and be overall disappointed. This is a results-based industry that we're in, and so far the results sort of speak for themselves. Let's do a prediction of the game, a quick fun score prediction, and then we'll go over to the ladder to just chat a little bit of Serie A before we finish up. So I'm going to give it over to you first. What's your prediction? And for a little bit of a fun add-on, who do you think can score the goals?
I think we're going to win 1-0. I think we're just going to edge it. I think it's going to be a slugfest. I think we're going to win it. The goal scorer, I have absolutely no idea at this moment in time. Like, it's probably going to be a player you won't expect to score. It's probably going to be one of those. Maybe McKennie will get his first goal. I think it will be something like that. I do think we're going to win it because we need it. We need it badly. We need this one so badly, you know, for obvious reasons. You know, as Juve Inter, you don't want to lose, but just for what it means for the season, our progress, whatever, name it. I think we need this one badly. And I think they will deliver in terms of they will bring that result or to keep that result home. So I'm going to go 1-0. And I have no idea who's going to score at this moment. It would be easy to say Vlahovic or Chiesa, but it's not that easy at this moment in time. So I'm going to go win for us.
I can't go past a 1-0 or a 0-0. I don't see this as an end-to-end. I don't see it as a lot of goals. Yeah. I just see it very cagey. My PTSD, which is heavy when it comes to this fixture, does say 1-0 to Juve, but it wouldn't surprise me to see us win the game 1-0 a Lautaro goal or even a penalty as well. I know that Inter seem to be reaping the benefits of penalties this season, but like I say to every fan in every league in the world, if you put the ball in the box as often as we do and play as often as we do, it's literally the most obvious logistical outcome. You want more penalties, get the goddamn ball in the box and get creative. It's as simple as that. It's a grade A tactic of the sport and has been for a century now. And now that we've got technology, play smarter, not harder. That's what I always say, man. Conserve your energy and get the result by any means necessary. Forza Inter says 2-0 to Inter. I don't think the team's going to win it by two goals. I think it's going to be cagey, and I think the hearts are going to be absolutely out of the chest by the end of the game. Just quickly, so we can finish off a little bit of a look at the rest. Milan and Napoli, you can't be happy with dropping five fixtures and six fixtures at this point in the season. So when you look at Napoli, they've only won 50% of their games this season, and a club that wins 50% of their opening 12 games never goes on to win the league title, especially in Serie A. I'll repeat that. What's the biggest points comeback I've seen for a title run?
I think we did it in 2015, I think.
That's I don't know how guys started piss poor. I remember.
I think we were 12, 13 points off the league.
That was all in like the first 8 or 9 games as well.
Yeah, we lost like everything. Like we lost every almost like we won two, like lost three or something and drew the rest. And then we lost to Sassuolo and then we went on to in like 19 or 18 game winning streak. You know, that was ridiculous. That's not going to happen again for any team. I think that's just one of those, like 10 points off top. I think that's too much already. You know, it's early, but like something crazy needs to happen.
Do you think that one or both of these Roman sides are going to miss European football altogether?
Oh, altogether. I don't know. Seventh place could be Conference League.
Yeah, seventh is Conference League.
I'm going to say that possibility is there because I don't rate any of those teams. If I'm being honest, at the start of the season, I said they're not good teams. They're just not. I don't think coaching is what it should be. I don't think the team is what it should be. But potentially, you need to have a very poor season not to finish top seven, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'm just looking at, you know, Bologna and Monza, but they're coasting on their vibes still, and their vibes might actually be enough to get them over a team like Lazio and Roma, because you got to think players who are playing for Lazio and Roma, once the expectations have gotten away for them, lackluster. the same way for Inter when we started in January last season by beating Napoli, and we closed the gap to, I think, 6 or 7. The gap was 10, and we closed it to 6 or 7. The gap was 9, and we closed it to 6 or 7. Everyone was like, here we go. We've actually got a title race this season. Negative. And then as soon as it went away from us in the next fixture, it would have been against could have been Bologna or Empoli. I'm not too sure. That was it. We just played trash in every Serie A game after that because contextual to our expectations of winning the league, that was no longer an option. And the team would have just much rather rested and ground out an opportunity to make top four than make sure that they won all their remaining fixtures. Not that it would have made a difference, but it's easy to see teams relinquishing their care factor if their expectations are gone. And that's what's going to happen with Roma and Lazio when they mathematically lose sight of fourth position. As soon as Roma and Lazio mathematically start to lose from fourth, I expect them to drop copious amounts of points towards the back end of the season because their care factor is just going to be very, very minimal. That's it. Yeah, I was going to put another element into the show, but we'll have to leave that for next time because I've got to start getting ready for work, man. But that was really, really enjoyable. Anything that you wanted to touch on or anything you wanted to speak about before we head off?
No. I'm just, I'm actually nervous for the game for the first time. I don't know, in a year and a half, maybe 2 years. Like, it's the first game. I'm being nervous because it has a real meaning. You know, it's not just Juve Inter. It has a meaning, you know, even if I'm not Scudetto believer 100%, maybe this is the game that puts me over the edge and makes me go crazy. But I'm actually nervous. You know, it's starting to build up, but I'm actually looking forward to it. That's also an issue. I wasn't really looking forward to watching games. I was just cruise control. But now I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
That's great. Guys, please make sure you're heading over to Ale's channel, the Bianconeri Zone, and subscribing over there. Please also, it must be time to get off because my big 50kg dog has just walked into the room and is giving me the look, you know, walk me, feed me, do something. do something. Also, if anybody wants to catch me again today in about 6 hours time, 3 p.m. Australian time, I think it might be 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. in the other time zone, I'll be a guest on Alberto's All Juve Cast today. So if anybody wants to catch another discussion, I'll be heading over to Enemy Trenches today for another good conversation. Thank you so much, Ale. Always an absolute pleasure to have you on here. Yeah. And I look forward to hearing your thoughts and your reaction after the game.
Same. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. All right, guys. Thanks for everybody that joined in the chat. We'll be back after the big Derby d'Italia. Ciao.